Hello, everyone. This is future Aaron Robertson speaking. So today I will be joined by Lily and Keaton, and we'll be covering episode one of Karma. So welcome to Karma Recaps. We are going to be joined later in the episode by Sierra, and we'll be talking to her about her journey here. Excited about that. We tried to get Jack as well for today, but he was unavailable, so we will be pushing his interview to a later episode. So look forward to that. And without further ado, here is our recap of episode one of Karma. Just imagine a didgeridoo sound here. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Karma Recaps, where we are recapping the HBO Max show Karma. And gotta start with episode one here. So without further ado, as always, my name is Aaron Robertson. You've probably heard my voice on Rob as a podcast before singing, and now I'm talking about Karma. And I'm so excited. And if you had listened to the Rise and Fall series episode where we went back and did our Endurance Reunion and previewed the Karma show, I was joined by a lovely panel, and they are joining me again for this journey. So first, she worked on Karma during this whole process behind the scenes. We have, from season five of Endurance High Sierras, we have Lily.
Hi, how are you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing wonderful. Yeah. How was it going from being on the yellow team to, you know, interviewing the yellow team?
It was really wild. Because first of all, Endurance sort of launched me into my TV career. I worked on Survivor a few years later and continued working in LA since then. And so, when I found out that basically Endurance was coming back, a new version of it, I was like, oh gosh. And I actually emailed the story producer that worked on my season of Endurance. Anyway, so when I got the show, I was so excited, and it was so surreal, especially because Karma was filmed in the same location as Endurance High Sierras. Not exactly the same, but it almost felt like I had come home, you know, to my roots. So it was really cool. And, I loved watching the kids and interviewing the kids out there. They were great.
How far away was it from where you did High Sierras?
It was probably a couple of miles. I'm not sure where mine was exactly, but yeah, just a couple of miles. It was surrounding the same lake. So.
Ooh. And next, we have the person that I interviewed several years ago when she was a Survivor Dream Teamer. And she was from the second season of Endurance, where she was the green team. We have Keaton Marchi. How are you?
I'm doing well, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good. Thanks for having me back. Guys, Karma, great. So great.
Keaton and I actually binged it all together, and we were just jumping on the couch like we were so excited. Keaton obviously hadn't seen it before, and just had to root for green team because green's her color.
It is. And it was fun watching with Lily because I think she was like watching us, seeing if like we were reacting to the story the way that they had hoped. And I think we were, right? Like,
oh yeah,
you guys did your job, Lily. You're killing it.
Thank you. I mean, as when you're a story producer, you hope that some of the things that you're trying to get across really come across. Like, and you guys caught absolutely everything. So I was very happy to watch your reactions.
It's so fun seeing it's so much like Endurance, and it's so fun to see another batch of kids get to have this kind of once in a lifetime experience and in HD. much easier to watch than Endurance.
Yeah. When we talked to Michelle last week, I remember she was saying that this was going to bring about a nostalgic feeling for people that grew up watching Endurance, the predecessor to Karma. And I definitely felt that nostalgic feeling watching this again, especially knowing that it's in the High Sierras again. And I do have to say, I appreciate the move of location. I think there's a ton of advantages about a location like this. I think it's very interesting to have this huge open field where you can see who everybody is talking to and having that cove off in the distance. So it, you know, teams have to walk out to the cove to talk, and you could probably, I don't know in terms of a visual, if you can see that from the main camp or not, but
yeah, you could.
Having that kind of circular area that everybody's in kind of made strategy interesting to watch and unfold.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't hide from anybody. And there's something interesting about basically all your dirty laundry is going to be airing out there. And it's like, so what kind of game are these kids going to choose to play? Because everybody knows who everybody else is talking to. But I just think, like, whoever did the casting for the show, like, you know, hats off to you, because all these kids seemed like good kids. There was not one that I would really wanted to root against. And they just seemed like at the end of the day, they were all friends. And when they would say that, it was true. So even though, you know, you put those elements as producers of kind of stirring the pot with the way the open location was and the way a lot of the challenges were, you know, at the end of the day, these kids were very aware this is a game. So that was nice to see the younger generation being so, I feel like, mature compared to when we were on Endurance and how mean it sometimes got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I feel like the premise of the show, Karma, they took that so seriously. And the idea is to think about your actions and how, and reflect upon your actions and to be better. And the kids just took that so seriously. And you could really see them thinking through what they should do and what they should have done. And that was refreshing.
Yeah. And I think we'll definitely see that play out even across, you know, this first episode here. So, I'm very excited to dive in and take a look at Karma, you know, with a magnifying glass and kind of break everything down with all of you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is fun.
Should we get into episode one specifically?
Yeah.
All right. Well, so they all walk in. It's so, well, obviously we have to say it feels like Endurance, but for anybody
it's
who
so Endurance. It's so Endurance.
18 teenagers walk through the woods. They're, I mean, they see their cabins. Like, first of all, the prize is $50,000. What was your guys' reaction to that?
My mind was blown. I was totally not expecting that. And I think, you know, with Endurance, a lot of the prizes had to do with trips or things that you got to experience with your partner. So that definitely made who you were with a lot more impactful, because I mean, this is not only the person that you're going to win the game with, but also really partake in the prize with. Whereas with $50,000, you know, even if you did happen to get put with somebody that you didn't want, you know, at least it's not like, oh, and now I have to spend, you know, X amount of days with with them somewhere else. Yeah.
I about fell out of my chair when in the Rise and Fall episode that we did when we were interviewing JD and Michelle, and she just kind of dropped that nonchalantly. I was just like, excuse me? Like, that's a ton of money. That is and I mean, obviously they would split it $25,000 each, but I mean, what high stakes off the bat to really figure out, you know, what is the strategy in this game to get to that prize? I love that they immediately raised the stakes from Endurance by changing the prize up, making it somewhat more adult, more mature. And I mean, shoot, $25,000, like that could help you get through college. I mean, it's, you know, obviously things are expensive these days, but super, super stoked to see that's what they're offering.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys have any early favorites, people you're rooting for? Obviously, Michelle comes to them with news that somebody gets a free ride, and there's definitely some drama surrounding who gets it, at least in the boys' cabin. What did you guys think about that?
it was interesting because I know, you know, they had a similar thing both for Endurance Hawaii and High Sierras. I want to say High Sierras, you did it as well. Right. Yeah. So it felt very, you know, nostalgic because, you know, for the people that have gotten free passes, I mean, they've tended to go really far in the game. So, you know, because if people are coming together to a decision collectively to choose a person to give the safety to, you know, obviously this person must be well liked enough by everybody to want to be kept around. So naturally, you know, these would be the types of people that would want to be protected or are going to be in alliances. And so definitely a good sign, you know, if you do get that free pass that, hey, you know, people want you to stay around and would want to work with you going forward.
One of the interesting things I found with kind of the free pass discussions and looking at the girls and looking at the boys is like the girls are so kind of political about it. They talked it through. It seemed to go pretty quickly, their decision making. And it made sense too on not only a strategic level, but also on a karmic level because, you know, hey, let's save the person that right now we think might be the weakest, might have the toughest, but then, you know, if they're in the game, I have a better chance of beating that person because they're weaker than me. So not only am I being nice to somebody who's not great to get that good karma, but also strategically, then my competition is a little less fierce. So right. That made so much sense. And then you go to the boys and I mean, it was just like this like kind of machismo, like I want to have a say. It literally reminded me so much of Scooter the moment Brown team walked in and the team challenge was being discussed. Like Adrian was, and I think he's such a sweetheart. I can't wait to talk to him, but it was so funny seeing him. He wanted to be able to have such a say in that decision to the point where even though all the guys really kind of wanted to give it to Jack, Adrian's loud voice made it go to Luke. Lily, because you were there. Yeah.
Adrian also, part of his motivation not only was, yeah, Jack's a mental threat, but also Jack might be the one person who would be worse than me and the right to stay. So if I get him to play, then I might be saving myself. And Adrian did end up getting last in the right to stay. So he essentially saved himself by being convincing to the rest of the group.
I did not think of it like that, Lily. I wish, oh my gosh, yeah, that's totally true. So you go, Adrian.
Yeah. Especially if you know, hey, I'm probably not going to be the best at the right to stay challenges. Now, granted, you know, looking back over the history of right to stay challenges, you know, usually a challenge like this hasn't happened. Usually it's something to do with hanging, but in the High Sierras. Yeah, endurance. In High Sierras, you know, there was that one where they had to run across
the balance beam.
Where
Lily was a beast. Yeah.
The best challenge.
So, yeah, if you know that in an individual challenge, you're probably not going to do well. Definitely. It's a good idea to not protect somebody who might be worse than you because you're only putting yourself at a disadvantage if you let them have a free pass.
Lily, when you just kind of gave us that insight, I did not think of it like that. And you're so right. Like that was so smart of Adrian. And I honestly think too, Adrian kind of was thinking he was going to be that strategic player. Like he was thinking that was going to be his role. And the fact that he saw Jack basically claiming like, this is my role, walking in with a chessboard attached to his back. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big statement to make for young Jack, who I like to call like the little Cochrane, because he's so well spoken and he knows himself so well for his age, as well as he knows how to read people. And I think I love him so much.
Same here. And I related to him so much when he said that he felt like the runt of the group. But yeah, I can't even imagine going on that hike and really making a statement being like, hey, I have a chessboard. You know, I'm really smart. And I can only imagine how long that hike was and how long people had a chance to kind of get a feel for everybody's personality just from that hike. So
Lily, maybe you can give us insight on this. Like, one of the unique things that they talked about in Karma, which we never really talked about in Endurance, is everybody got a an item, like a personal item. Mm-hmm. And that's why Jack was able to bring the chessboard. Were there any other personal items that kind of were stand out to you or just kind of didn't make the cut or,
right.
you know?
Well, I think that the people who had personal items that were like physically with them on the hike were people who that personal item is part of their personality. So it's something we wanted to see. Like, for example, Harrison had a ukulele and he's a singer. So, and I think Skylie may have also had a ukulele and she's also a singer. So it's like those people had them with them. And obviously Jack's chessboard, that's a very big part of his personality. So that was, I think, the motivation behind them, like having them with them. And personally, I don't actually know what the rest of the cast had, whether they had it in their bags or whether they brought anything. So, yeah.
So let's talk about this challenge. Yeah. the boys go first. And as we said very quickly, like, you know, it how heavy were those beams? That's kind of what I kept thinking.
That's like, a good question.
How heavy were they?
When I don't actually know, but that's a good question for Sierra when we get her on here, because I know that they were heavy and they got even heavier when they got in the water, when they got wet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for those who need a refresher, so this challenge was called Plank Walk. And basically there was several sets of platforms of decreasing length. And everybody had a platform or a plank of their own, which was just long enough to stretch from one platform to the other. And so the first eight to successively cross across all of the platforms and make it to the end would stay. And the person that came in last would be the first person eliminated.
Right. Do you guys think obviously we know Lily would have killed this challenge. Aaron, how do you think you would have been at this challenge?
You know, it was interesting watching the challenge because I saw a lot of kids throwing their planks into the water, yeah. like the other side, in which I would try to, you know, get the plank and slide it over so that I'm not, you know, because mm-hmm. they're throwing it and then it's falling in the water and they have to get it, especially because it's just long enough. I think I would do relatively well at setting up the platform. Getting over it would be a different story, but you know, I mean, this challenge had a lot of open interpretation. I mean, you really could have done this challenge in any number of ways, as we would see. You know, some people just did it by themselves. Other people started to work together, which, you know, I didn't even think of that at first. And then once I saw it, I'm like, well, yeah. You know, this is set up to where, you know, if you want to keep your friends in the game or really establish trust with somebody, I mean, you could, you know, set up a platform and make them cross over it. So,
right. So for the boys, I mean, obviously Jack had the toughest time. And then there was a three-way alliance, I believe, at the end with Elijah, Adrian, and whoever Mac. Was Mac.
Mac.
And so, well, what did you guys think about people helping each other? I know it wasn't stated in the show, but the rules behind the scenes were you cannot hinder somebody else, but that doesn't mean you can't help somebody else.
The only rule
that was explicitly stated was you can't hinder somebody else. Hinder. I believe.
Yeah. Well, okay. It was interesting because I felt like the moment, like you almost unconsciously like hinder somebody because the platforms were really wobbly. And so it made it even more, if you didn't get to a platform like quickly to where you had access to a platform that somebody else wasn't on, like how are you one going to get your barely long enough plank to even touch that platform, let alone be able to have it stay while you're on it. And the platform that you're trying to get to has five people on it who are moving around. I mean, that's a whole nother element of like difficulty that I didn't even think about until I remember Lily, you pointed it out to me. But I think the teamwork, I think that's the genius thing about this Right to Stay challenge and the car, you know, to immediately weave the idea of karma into a challenge, into, hey, you have the opportunity not only to help people, but to work together. So if I was doing it, I would have, you know, tried to one, work with people right away. And then if there are still people in the back that I would rather have come forward than others, gone back. And once I kind of got cleared, gone back and tried to get the people I wanted over. So I don't know if like that would have been allowed, but it was weird to me that like people won and they celebrated. And even when they saw people helping each other, they didn't go back until sweet, sweet Eli, who I love so much.
I don't think I would have gone back because I would have felt weird picking and choosing. I also think that both the girls and the boys, when they did the challenge, only helped someone when they knew that they were going to make it anyway. Because somebody at that point was already a little bit too far behind. So do I think that anything would have been different? Not really, if they hadn't been able to help each other. But it was a nice gesture.
Yeah. Lily, I would have helped you.
Thanks.
I can tell this girl can walk across planks really fast. Let's join up here.
Yeah. And I also did want to highlight before this challenge where they were all sitting around in that circle and, you know, sharing different facts about themselves. I found it fascinating what people chose to share and showcase about them and some of the choices that were made. Some of them I found a little odd, but others were really cool to see. And fascinating, you know, for instance, I remember, you know, Presley, when she started speaking Japanese, I thought that was cool. And Eli's dancing. We have two Elijahs who are 15 and can dance.
Are both like professional dancers.
Yep.
What are the odds of that?
I know. Well, they're just both such great characters. You can't not cast both of them just because they look similar and they have the same name. The audience can figure it out.
One of my first favorite quotes from Karma that came out of this little round circle. And it was when Huck's thing is just, my name is Huckleberry, you call me Huck. I know famous people. And I'm just like, who goes out and just says, I know famous people? And I was like, Lily, who are these famous people he knows? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know if they ever figured it out.
Yeah, that was something that I thought that was such an odd choice of words for a statement. I think it is definitely a cool, fun fact to know famous people, but because it was so broad, you know, if you're stating a fun fact to say, hey, you know, I want to make connections with people in this social game, I felt like the statement was so broad enough that I wouldn't know, you know, are these athletes? Are they scientists? Are they famous musicians? Are they famous movie star? Like there, it could have gone in so many different directions, but there was nothing. It didn't really say anything
right
about,
well, I think
Huck to me. Yeah.
I don't think any of them asked him follow-up questions about that. I remember like working on the scene and it ended there because you see some of the reactions. They're like, oh, whatever, big shot. You know, like I think Andy was like, oh, big shot.
And I think it's like, Huck, you're freaking 6'3", right? Like, that is a really cool fact about you. And you went with, I know famous people.
So Jack and Sierra did you want to talk about more about that round circle?
Other than Skyly's voice is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. And Jack's big $50,000 comment. Everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know what? I like it. I think that was cute. I think that, I mean, obviously, yes, it ended up like kind of biting him in the butt, but I think you're right, Lily. I think, oh my gosh, why am I blanking on this? Adrian probably would have gone after Jack regardless, because I think you're right. He knew that was, he wanted to play that strategy, and he knew he was weak physically compared to all the other guys. So whether Jack said that statement or not, Adrian had it out for him. So yeah.
I think that they all took it very seriously. If I was there, I would have taken it more as a joke, but yeah. I think that you always want to find someone else who to put the target on. So that was a great opportunity.
They took that opportunity for sure. Yeah.
It definitely was. I also love the moment when Presley starts clapping along to Skyly and it's completely offbeat. And I was just like, and everybody didn't know if like they needed to clap with her or like clap for her. It was like this, what are we doing? When you get these little moments when you really see who these kids are, and like, it just, I'm so that girl. I would have done the same thing Presley did. And I'd be like, mm-hmm. Okay.
And Max like, it's off beat. What are you doing?
So I really love those little like moments where it feels like you guys just let the camera keep running, and they just showed us a piece of who they really are and forgot mm-hmm. about the cameras being there. That was yes.
And you know, we really got to see you know, when speaking of the girls' part of the right to stay, when Andy had mentioned that she has swam with Thai Olympic swimmers, and
yeah,
you know, in this challenge really got to see her dominate and do very well.
Yeah. She's lived all over the world, and Thailand was one of them, I believe. And so, yeah, she got to train with the junior Olympic team, and she got first in the right to stay, you know?
Yeah. So.
She killed it. She was one of those ones, like, I felt like of all the kids, her for the girls and Huck for the guys felt like a little bit like older. Like it felt like they were not like teenagers really. It felt like they were kind of young adults to me. Mm-hmm. And then I felt like kind of everybody as the season went on kind of rose to those occasions. So it was really fun to see just how those two, seeming so adult, really interacted with the other younger looking kids. And yeah. I know we'll get into partner stuff later.
How about Aaron, the 13-year-old who wants to prove he can, you know, be up there with the big kids?
Oh.
I love Aaron so much. I did the rewatch with my boyfriend, and we just laugh every time Aaron's on. He just is so endearing, and he just seems like such a nice kid and also tough. Like, yeah, he might be short, but like, I mean, you can tell he grew up with older siblings because he's like scrappy.
Oh yeah.
I really like that about him.
And it's weird because when we're younger, you know, 1 or 2 years apart, I mean, that's a big deal, you know, because mm-hmm. that's such a large portion of our lives. You know, if, you know, there's all these seventh and eighth graders, and Aaron, I don't know which grade they're actually in, but you know, 2 years down is sixth grade and I'm an eighth grade. I'm like, I've been there, done that. You know, I feel like much more older and mature. But now, you know, if somebody's 2 years older or younger than me, I'm like, oh, okay, we're basically like the same age.
Right. But like, one or two years in for a pre-teenager or a young teenager, that can be a lot. So,
yeah.
So Aaron, even though he's like, oh my gosh, I'm 13 and everyone else is 14. Oh no. You know, it's like, he does have a point, you know, he a 1 year can do a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we haven't even talked about Harrison though, who got first with the guys. Mm-hmm. And recently I just do that little dance whenever I feel like I've had a success in life ever since I saw Harrison do it. Uh-huh. What is it? Is it called the floss? Is that
flossing.
What it is? I don't know. Flossing? Yeah. Okay. I don't know what the kids call it these days. But
funny.
Yeah, I really enjoyed seeing him kind of succeed in that way. And two great groups of kids becoming the official Karma players, but really sad to have to say goodbye to, you know, Jack and lovely Sierra.
Yes.
Who, you know, you feel like, oh, all these kids are so great. So to have to say goodbye to any of them really sucked.
Yeah. But,
yeah,
for sure. I was heartbroken to see both of them go. I mean, it's heartbreaking to see anybody go after the huge casting process and, you know, wanting to be out there. But But I liked hearing Sierra say that she wanted to do the challenge and that she didn't want the free pass. I thought that was pretty courageous of her and that it showed that she was really down for the adventure.
Yeah. No, she definitely was like, I just very fearless and somebody who you could tell was very out of her element, coming from Brooklyn.
The Bronx, I think.
Oh, the Bronx. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like just kind of diving in and not taking that free pass and also not saying like trying to be like, oh, give it to me when those girls were all kind of talking or feeling insecure about herself. Like she might have been insecure, but like she wasn't letting those insecurities, you know, and the fear dictate how she wanted to experience this game. And that's really courageous of her.
Yeah. Should we get into the second challenge?
Yes. What? So they wake up on day three. It's freezing outside. I really loved these in between things of getting their moments, you know, having cameras, because that's something that's such a huge difference from endurance passes, that, you know, everybody has their own camera that they're recording themselves with at night, with sort of like their own personal journals or vlogs. Everything. It's really cool to see.
We really encourage them to keep using those. And there was so much of that that didn't make the show, unfortunately, because, you know, it's a tough dance to want to use all these great moments, but also keep the pacing up of the game and let the audience feel like they're not waiting for anything, you know? So, but they had a great time with that. And I loved seeing those little moments that did make the show. Because they were just having fun in the woods, you know?
It was almost like Blair Witch Project-esque, but like the sweet, kind version. They're like close up to the camera and like it's like their own POV and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it made me very envious of like when we were on endurance, like, man, I wish like we had to go to a little confessional booth. Like if I just had my confessional like with me all the time, that's, you know, like your little therapy stick right there.
Yeah, pretty much. And I do have to mention, I love how, you know, took a page out of the out of the Endurance Fiji book, where you had the instead of the photo shoot during the middle of the challenge, you had the still shots of everybody as soon as they got through the right to stay. I thought that was a cool editing touch as well.
Yeah, I actually liked that. I thought it looked cool. They all looked epic at the end.
They really did.
So the second challenge, which is called Fit to Pick, right? What did you guys think about that? I mean, when I was just so impressed, some of the people who competed, Ilya was an obvious standout. Skyla was a standout. It came down to Eli and Mac, the two Elijahs, the two dancers. You know, Mac ended up winning after Eli's shoe fell off. What did you guys think about that challenge?
I love the challenges where they have those big contraptions. Like it just seems that much more epic. And like, I have such like vivid memories of, on my season of endurance, seeing like that big contraption we could constantly see. And it was this constant, like, looming, like, doom of, like, are we going to have to do a challenge on that? What are they doing on that? And so to see kind of a similar structure for Karma was really fun. But that's just fun. Like, what a fun challenge. Like, I love endurance challenges. And I love, too, that they got to choose who basically, again, like, they're forcing kind of those discussions and who wants to step up and who wants to step back. You know, to kind of test out people's strategies. And it gave another one of my standout favorites, Ilya, a chance to say, you know, I didn't do the last challenge. I need to prove myself. I mean, not only to myself, but to everybody else. So people can see, hey, I'm a contender. I'm somebody who you would want as your partner. So I think it was really smart for her to do that, even though she's scared of heights. And she was really kind of scared of the whole challenge.
Yeah.
And so we're going to circle around to a quick break. We're going to hear from our sponsors and we're going to circle back to us.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
And we're back. So, yeah, with the partner challenge, I loved this twist being brought back from Endurance to Hatchapi, where they had a challenge and then one person would pick all of the teams. And so it was really interesting that only half of the people were playing. That's something that I thought was interesting. So people had to make that active decision of whether they wanted to have that power or not. And if they did, you know, what they would do with that partner power once they received it.
Yeah. And it was actually pretty easy for them to decide. I thought that they might fight over it, but a lot of people didn't want to play because they didn't want the power, or they didn't think they would win. And so the people who did play really gave it their all. Unfortunately, Skyly and Andy did decide to jump off together, and we'll have to ask Skyly about that whenever we interview her. But yeah, I thought that what was interesting for me too is that the girls just a couple days, or actually the day before, had just chosen Ilya as one of the weaker competitors to give her the right to stay pass. Yeah. And then there she goes for 25 minutes up on this challenge. And I thought that was a pretty cool to see that.
Yeah, what an amazing display by Ilya.
Mm-hmm.
What a great, I think that's kind of the coolest thing about, you know, we watch a lot of these reality competition shows mostly with adults, and, you know, you see growth in adults too, but to see growth in such young people and to see it happen, it somewhat feels like it happens so quickly, like these lessons are learned so quickly and these challenges are met, because kids are just resilient and awesome. And so it was so cool to just see that story, that little story arc already with Ilya within the first episode of the series.
Right. And I mean, her first interview was all about wanting to represent well for the Muslim community and girls who wear hijabs. And, you know, it can be a lot of pressure to feel like you're representing an entire community when there isn't a lot of representation for you. And so I think that she handled that pressure really well. And you can see in her eyes what she's thinking about in that challenge. I mean, like, she was struggling since minute four and she was not going to give up.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we get the winner of that challenge, is Mr. Mac. You know, Eli, I guess one of the Elis, but,
yeah.
It was interesting to me that I love when people are in endurance challenges and start like strategizing and making deals. But Eli was not having it. He was not having it at all. So he kind of forced Mac, if you want Skyly, you better win.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I wonder, I'm curious if Mac regrets that win. Or more so regrets the way he handled that win.
Let's talk about the way he handled that win.
Yeah.
Office hours.
Yeah. It was, you know, there's usually always some sort of a partner gate when it comes to these partner challenges. You know, we saw this in the very, very first endurance season when everybody made a list. Somebody went against that list. And you know, Max, when he went against that list, they came back to bite him because the team he made, you know, was the team that sent him home. So, or even when, I'm trying to think of what happened in Tatchby, where, you know, he picked all the team, Chris picked all the teams, mm-hmm. mixed up a few, you know, didn't work out too well for Chris either. So I was, you know, wondering how Mac was going to handle this.
Right. Well, he did get everybody's top two or three in the list of who people didn't want. And then during the, you know, announcement of who he partnered together, what were your guys' reactions as he continued making the teams?
It comes back to karma. It's really, yes, strategically to ask everybody who you want, and then not pair them with those people. You know, that could seem like a, you know, smart thing just because your competition, like you're controlling your competition. But at the same time, if you allow these people to come to you and you say, hey, who do you want? And then you deny every single one of them who they wanted. I think he should have, even though I love all the teams, and I think they all ended up being really fun, kind of quirky characters or teams and stuff. I think what he should have done is made an alliance with people, gave them who they wanted, and then they could have had these power partnerships and alliances going mm-hmm. through and not pissed off everybody. But I think my favorite teams that he made are Ilya and Eli and Andy and Aaron. Just off the bat, those are red and yellow. Of course I have like major love for green team too, but I think those are the two teams that right off the bat I was like, ooh, these are going to be the teams to watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, Aaron and Andy had a cute, funny moment when they're like, which shirt is bigger? It's like, I feel like that kind of just embodies their team because they're just a fun team, you know? They just seem to have good spirits. So I like that moment. Yeah. I thought it was cute.
So in the meantime, since we have her here, I would love to bring in the person eliminated from the Right to Stay challenge to kind of talk some karma with us. So I'm going to bring her in. Here we have Sierra. So hi, Sierra.
Hey. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Yeah. I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. We're excited to be talking to you.
Me too.
Yeah. What was it like to watch back the show? Did you watch the whole thing? Did you see the first episode? What was it like to see it?
I saw the first episode. I didn't get to finish because we went on vacation and there was no Wi-Fi in the villas, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, but watching the first episode, it was really cool actually seeing myself on the TV show because I've never been on one before. So I thought that was cool. And I don't know, it just looked so fun to watch and I couldn't wait to watch the rest. And I wish I could have, but I will.
Good.
Sierra, what kind of drew you to wanting to be on this TV show and even like apply and go through the casting process?
Well, my aunt told me about it at first and I thought it was so fun because I was like in the middle of nowhere and I love a challenge. Even if I didn't make it that far in the challenges, it was really fun to me. And I saw there was a challenge in the middle of nowhere, testing your mind and basically like your physical too. So I was like, that sounds perfect. And I went.
Yeah. What was casting like? What was the process for you? Did it take a long time?
Yeah, it was really nerve-wracking, actually, because I didn't know if I was going to get picked. And when I went and I saw everybody else, I felt like sometimes I can be like not as outgoing, even though I am outgoing. But like when I don't know anyone, I tend to get a little bit nervous. And so once I saw everyone was so outgoing, I started getting like, I need to be more outgoing too. I need to make myself noticed as well. And so it was actually like, it was nerve wracking, but it was fun at the same time seeing all these new faces, all these new people.
Mm-hmm.
Out of everybody that you got to know, had you stayed, was there anybody that you would have wanted to have been your partner?
Probably Avon or Ilya, because I got along with both of them very well. And I don't know, they're just nice, fun people. They're really sweet. And I feel like they'll do great, like, with teamwork as well, because they seem like really good people to work with.
Yeah.
What was it like for you having traveled to, you know, the mountains in California from the Bronx and kind of living in the middle of nowhere? What was it like for you coming from a big city?
It was a big change, but it was so fun because I got to see stuff that I've never seen before, like hiking in mountains. We had to walk through this little river thing, and I felt like it was so much fun because it's like out in the open. In New York, you can't really do anything like that. We're just surrounded by buildings and stuff like that. So I thought it was really good to get out of the city for a little bit and see everything.
Yeah.
What has your family and friends thought about kind of your experience and being on this international TV show?
Everyone was watching it, and everyone, they're so happy for me and they're excited. And they, like, even if I didn't make it that far, like, they showed me so much support throughout this whole thing, and they showed me that they're proud of me for making it on the show, and I love that.
Aww. I love that.
That's amazing.
That's how I love that. People. So you had an interview segment where you said that you didn't really want the free pass because you came here to play. So I love that because I thought that was so brave of you to be willing to, do a challenge where you could potentially go home for the adventure. You know, you signed up for this, I guess.
Yeah.
So looking back, would you still play the challenge, or would you fight for the free pass? What is your reaction looking back on that decision?
Looking back, I wouldn't change anything that I did, really, because I know even though I come to win, I don't want to take a free pass just to win. I want to win because I know that I can do it and I can do the challenge. And even if I didn't win, it was still a really fun experience being able to participate in the challenges and knowing that I did it myself and I didn't have to take a free pass to pass the challenge. I felt like I would still do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And I also don't want to take anything away from Ilya, obviously. That was also good that she got the free pass and she ended up proving herself later. So that's not to take anything away from her. Let's see. I had one more question. Do you guys have any questions in the meantime?
Yeah.
Go, Aaron.
Okay. What was your favorite part of the whole journey?
I think my favorite part was actually being out there in the wilderness with new people that I've never seen before. Because it's like, I always like, even when you get to know new people, you never get to know anybody in the mountains in a different environment. And it's like, it's nice to see how everyone was like, I feel like we were kind of clueless going into it. We didn't know anybody. We didn't know where we were. I felt like everyone kind of bonded off of that. And that's what I liked about it.
Yeah, you're all in a very unique experience. Only you can understand.
Sierra, what are you up to now? Like, I know with everything going on, a lot of people are quarantining. I know you said you just went on vacation. What's going on in your life now?
We're moving soon. So we're going to be moving to Pennsylvania. It's way different than New York. And that's where we went on vacation, actually. And so that's kind of the biggest thing that's going on right now.
Awesome. Ooh. What grade are you going into in the fall?
I'm going into 10th grade, a sophomore.
Awesome. Right.
Were you 14 on the show?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Do you have any behind the scenes stories? What was it like at night? Was it cold? Like, what was it like? Did you really stay in the cabins? A lot of people ask that. Did you really stay in those cabin tents?
We really stood in those cabins. It was so uncomfortable and cold because I didn't think it was going to be that cold because it was so hot during the day. And like, we had to drink so much water because like, we would get dehydrated. So I'm thinking maybe at night it shouldn't be that cold. It was freezing. I could not feel my fingers. I wore like two pairs of pants, a shirt, a sweater in the sleeping bag, and I was still freezing. And then on top of that, the beds, it's not like it's a mattress. It was so hard. But like, it was fun. And even going to the bathroom in the middle of the night, like, it's pitch black. So you have to go with a partner and you have to go with a flashlight and all that just to make sure there's no bears or nothing around you. And
oh, wow.
Bears? They had to worry about bears, Lily?
They did. There was bear mace in each tent just in case.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's why they also could not eat in the cabins, because we could not have the fear of a bear coming to find their food.
Yeah, would you have to like hang it up in the trees to keep it out of the reach?
What, bear mace? Oh, well, actually, Sierra, a lot of people ask this question too. What is the food situation? Do you get fed, or are you really doing Survivor here?
Oh yeah, of course we got fed, and like the food is actually really good. They brought us like homemade food and stuff, and it was delicious. And I thought we was gonna have to eat like food, like camping food and stuff like that. But the food is actually great.
Yeah, that was awesome. Just obviously off camera and not part of the story.
Well. Sierra, if you could give other people wanting to play Karma any advice, what would you tell them?
I think the most advice is just like not be nervous. Like just be prepared and going with confidence that you're going to win. Even if it seems difficult to you, don't stop. Keep on trying. Because it's like, it's really a test of your, like, even if it's a physical challenge, it's like it tests your brain too. Because like there's many times where you think you want to give up or you think you want to do stuff like that. Don't give up. Just keep on trying.
Great advice, Sierra.
Yes.
Sierra, any final words about your experience on Karma that you feel like you didn't get a chance to say there that you want to say now?
Not much. I'm just saying I love the people that were there, and congratulations to everybody who made it past every challenge. And that's it.
Oh, awesome. I love this.
You're so sweet, Sierra. And thank you so much for coming on. Can we follow you like on any social media or anything? Or
You can follow my Instagram. It's
awesome.
It's Sierra, CIERAAA_NYC.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you so much, Sierra. Thanks for sharing some of your insight and your experience. I'm glad to hear that it was a positive experience for you, for sure. And thanks for going out there. We loved having you.
Yeah, girl. Thank good you. Luck with the move. You were so great on the
thank
show.
You.
All right. Bye. Thanks so much,
Sierra.
Bye.
What a sweetheart.
I love Sierra so much.
And what perspective. I mean, it's so surprising that like young teenagers can have such perspective on an experience like that. And, you know, they all want to win, but she can look at it positively so quickly after the show. So I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
And I think she's going to go far. I really do.
Oh, she's going to be just fine. It's so, I agree with you. Like, I'm still freaking bitter about getting second place on Endurance. Like,
I know. Oh my God.
I can't believe it. Like, I'm just so proud of everything. Like, I'm just like, yes, yes. I have, all these kids are giving me such like hope for our youth and for like the next generation. So I'm so excited to meet the rest of them because, they're all kind of stars in my mind. I feel like an old lady saying that, but I just feel like a little like mom. I'm like, look at you. You're so smart and sweet and have a good head on your shoulders. So.
Yeah.
Yes. And so with that, going back to Mac and creating the partners, teams. The teams, I still can't fathom. You know, making the conscious decision to mess up all of the teams, because I feel like if you're going to do that, you would have to do that knowing that, you know, you're probably setting yourself up for a very, a more difficult path than usual, to get to the end, because, you know, if just one team wins something and they have to make a decision, hands down, you know, you would be one of those targets because everybody, literally every team can rally behind the fact that, hey, you know, the whole reason why we're all together is because of this one person, which you know, depending on what partner game you have and how that fleshes out, you know, because this was all in one person's hands, it's a lot harder to dodge blame in a situation like that, or dodge the ire of other teams.
I feel like
as much.
And we'll have to ask Mac whenever we have him on, but I feel like he was holding on to the friendships they had, and he thought that those friendships would carry him through this decision. Because he did have a lot of good friends out there, but I don't know if he really thought that they would all be as mad at him as they were for putting him, for him, you know, putting them with the person that they didn't want. So I don't know. I'll be curious to see what he says about that.
Something that's yeah. interesting to me is that if he was so sure that he was going to pick Skyly as his partner, why, unless he did, why did he not consult her? Because once you have a partner, you guys are one. Like, if somebody's mad at one of you, they're mad at both of you.
That's a good point.
And it's very interesting to me. And I don't know if at that age I would have thought about that, but it is very interesting. If he knew that he was going to pick her right away, why she wasn't a part of the office hours, you know, of putting these teams together, and how that could have been a very smart strategic thing to do, knowing, okay, who exactly is Skyly super close to? Who am I very close to? Who do we see as threats? I think that would have been the right move, but, you know, he won the challenge and he made his own bed. So karma, man.
Yeah. I think, you know, this is, and I don't know if it's because of how the teams were created this season or just maybe how everybody interacted with each other, but I found myself really noticing that a lot of people in teams are acting as individuals and not really as a team. There doesn't really seem to be a lot of partner to partner discussion of any decision that's made. It seems like everybody's just doing what they're doing normally and then forgetting, hey, I have a partner over here. You know, this is also probably going to be effect. We should probably, you know, come to a consensus on what us as a team are going to be doing.
It's weird to watch back the end of the first episode because you really see that they don't seem to have team spirit, but like they don't seem cohesive yet. It's just like, oh wow, you know, so-and-so's partner with so-and-so. They're like, oh yeah, we're a team. But like as the season goes on, and I don't want to spoil anything, but they each team a little bit seems more cohesive, like they're one. You know, at the beginning of, at the end of episode one, it's like they seem two individuals and later kind of become one entity.
Yeah. So let's just like spell out the teams really quick before we have to wrap up this episode. So we have, this is not going to be in order at all, so bear with
me.
Luke
and Ariana was the first,
Luke and Ariana, so they chose blue. And that seems like, they seemed fine with that. They're about, you know, same similar builds. Luke has the beautiful blue eyes and the blue color just makes them pop the whole time.
And Luke was the one who did get the free pass and later sort of regretted it a little bit. But yeah, I think that that team just on first sight is the smallest team. And I think that that's what they wanted to prove themselves because of that.
Yeah.
So I was looking forward to seeing how they performed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They give me purple team from Tehachapi vibes and that they were also both small.
Totally.
So I think that could turn out well because, you know, because they are similar heights in builds, it's not going to be like, you know, if they have to work together, it's going to be relatively hard for one person to do
totally
a task.
Lopsided.
Yeah.
And then, so who's next?
We have Adrian and Presley who chose focused.
Ooh, that drama orange team. This is like orange team from my season of endurance. Like they were not happy. They were very upset. It's like a yin and yang that didn't ever quite find a way to come together.
Right. Well, Presley had explicitly stated to Mac that she didn't want Adrian. And so that's why she was so upset with Mac. But it's interesting because at the end of the episode, they're kind of on the same page. Well, they're both like, Mac, like, we got to get Mac basically out.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm always looking forward to seeing how they do together, especially when they don't get along at the beginning, because there's nothing like a comeback story.
We love Absolutely. A comeback. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Who is next?
Next, we have Aaron and Andy, who chose Connection.
Oh, these two. They're such an odd pairing, but in being, it's like they're so odd, they're so endearing. Like, and I really enjoy both of them as individuals, and I think as a team, I have a lot of high hopes for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they kind of remind me of the dynamic between Frankie and Erica. You know, Erica was, you know, the tallest girl there, you know, really strong in challenges. And then, you know, Frankie was really social with the group. And I felt like, you know, Aaron seems to fall into that, you know, seems to be well liked by everybody. Andy also very tall, but also very, you know, has shown her, you know, that she's really good in these challenges as well, too.
Right. And I wonder if that was why Mac paired them together, because Aaron's sort of the underdog and the one of the smaller kids, youngest, and Andy was the standout in the first episode. Like, she's an Olympic swimmer, basically. Like, that's kind of an interesting pair. So,
yeah,
absolutely.
Then fourth, we have Justin and Avon, who chose Giving,
and Pink because and it looks good on Justin.
And it, like, Justin's whole, like, I feel like his kind of subplot, his entire experience on Karma was all like his like crush on Sienna, his like love story. So the fact that he picked Pink, I'm just like, I love Avon, I love Justin. They're just both great characters. Mm-hmm. And also like not a team that I think of like as a team.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. I think of them very much individually, even though I've seen the whole season at this point.
And we did hear about Avon's backstory in the first episode where, you know, her mom who adopted her passed away. And so, I mean, whenever I hear something like that, I'm just rooting for that person in general in life to succeed. And I think the fact that she got on the show and was down for this adventure is awesome. And I was looking forward to seeing how Avon and Justin did. I thought it was a little strange pairing at first, but, you know, maybe not for the rest of the season.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how they end up doing as a team here. I think, you know, unlike other teams, I feel like because they seem to be starting more on neutral ground, I feel like they'll have an easier time coming together as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Then after that, we have Huck being paired with Sienna. Huck told Mac that he did not want Sienna because he thought, you know, Sienna doesn't really vibe well with him. You know, they didn't really seem to be on the same page at all. So he didn't think they would work well together. And Mac heard that and said, "What you do together? Let's do it."
Lily, you might have insight on this. There seemed like there was a small story beat of you heard a lot of the girls say, "I don't want to be with Huck. Right. I don't want to be with Huck." And to me, Huck looks like somebody that would be, you know, a very strong physical competitor. You know, were they scared of kind of that target, or was he kind of just like the I know famous people and kind of a little like bro-y, and so they were kind of turned off by him?
Right. I mean, I think that it was the I know, not specifically that.
Yeah.
Sentence,
not
right. But I think that a lot of the girls thought he was a little bit cocky and didn't want to be with somebody who was cocky or wouldn't take their opinions seriously. And so, I mean, that you see that right away when Sienna goes, "Oh, I want to pick humility because you need to be humble." And it's like, I love that moment. I think it's so funny.
Subtle hint there. And they pick Gray, which I think that was an interesting choice. I mean, I love the word humility for this team, but Gray. We'll have to see if this Gray curse,
right? Endurance,
haunt them.
The Gray curse of endurance.
Yeah.
Four out of the five seasons that there was a Gray team, They went home first.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last season of Endurance, we're just like, we're just not going to have a great team because we're going to be like,
we're going to skip over that step.
This seems like a strong team if they can figure out how to just communicate and to work together. So also if Sienna cannot be distracted by her somewhat attraction to Justin. But I think Justin's kind of more of the one that you need to kind of worry about because his mother even knows him. There was an interview later where he's like, my mom told me to stay away from the girls. He's like, oh my God, Justin.
I love it.
Yes.
So funny.
Who's the next team?
So Max says that he's going to make a last minute change. And I feel like this is a huge catalyst here, this decision that Mac makes here, because I want to say, had Harrison and Ilya come together, I would have jumped on that bandwagon so fast. I would have been cheering for Harrison and Ilya, because I really appreciated how Harrison had gone to Mac and said, hey, you know, I want to be with Ilya. I want, you know, her to see her true strength, and I want to help her and make sure that, you know, and work with her. And I thought that is awesome.
Yeah. There.
And Max said at the last minute, nope, I'm going to put Eli with Ilya on the yellow team. And they chose Patience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah. What did you guys think of that team right away?
At first I was like, oh, I wish it was Harrison and Ilya. But then I felt like, you know what? I think Eli and Ilya are a good match actually as well, too. I think, and I think a lot of the other people were commenting like, yeah, this is going to be a team that we're going to have to watch out for, because, I mean, they both showed that they did really well in that partner challenge and in the right to state challenge as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, because the teams otherwise would have been Ilya and Harrison and Eli and Skyla, which that also would have been a massively strong team.
That would have been a powerhouse. Like, yeah. I mean, I think they would have had such, unfortunately, I feel like either way, Eli would have had a target, no matter who his partner was going to have a target on his back.
Yeah.
And even Ilya and Harrison, though, being teamed up, I think that's Harrison having, you know, won basically the right to stay challenge, been the first one to finish, and Ilya showing all her kind of prowess during the partner challenge. I think both, no matter which way those teams would have flipped, I think they would have been targets just because of their physical strength.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
I think it was definitely more interesting, like game-wise, story-wise, to see an Eli paired with an Ilya and a Harrison with a Skyla, because that wasn't each of their number one choices. But yeah, I felt like that, though, as you said, Aaron, was such a catalyst to a huge kind of shock in the game of losing a competitor.
Yeah, and we'll find out next episode what that is. So before we sign off for this first episode, Lily, where can everybody follow you and where can everybody follow Karma?
Yeah, you can follow me. My personal Instagram is Tiger Lily Brown with two L's. And I'm also running the unofficial Karma Instagram, which is at Karma on HBO Max.
Ooh, awesome. How about for you, Keaton?
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Keaton Markey. Just my name.
And you can follow me on Instagram at TheOrangeAA or on Twitter at AARobertson94. I need to change one of those two to be the other so I can make it easier. And I'm gonna probably rebrand at some point, but for right now, that is what it is.
Yeah. Well, and thanks to Rob Has a Podcast for letting us be up on there.
Yeah,
put us out there to the world.
Can't wait for episode two.
Yes. Woo.
Yeah, we might be talking to some people for episode two, so make sure you tune in.
Yeah.
Yes. So, all right. Well, thank you for joining us here for Karma Recaps episode 1, and we'll see you on the flip side.